To do part A today, if I can get through a lot of it. I got a lot of material here, so we'll see what we can do. But I like to always try to find something that would kind of hit home a little bit here. I got this little article here, or a Gallup poll. It kind of falls in right what we're talking about today. Poll Americans are identifying with this LGBT movement, and it's interesting, as Paul mentioned, youth. It's an ongoing destruction of our youth, and the Gallup poll, they're not too bad. The Gallup poll, I mean, there's some bias there, but it's generally a pretty good program. They have five groups here: traditionalists. I guess maybe my generation behind me would consider it be traditionalist. Baby boomers, Generation X, Millennials, and now they have this new thing they call Generation Z, whatever that means, okay? That's their terminology. But look here. It's interesting. Show you the brainwashing, not only in our country, of the world, folks. Folks maybe a little behind me, right on the edge, who identifies LGBT, 1.3%. Yeah, that may, I thought, would be high, You know, back when I graduated, 10%, they're saying 1.3. And then the baby boomers now, 2%. So almost double there. Generation X, 3.8. Millennials, 9.1. And this generation now we have, 15.9. That's an amazing thing, folks. That's why they're catering to them there in the polls and all that and politics, because they're a force. And you went, though, once you're a force, they want them, then that person then compromises to that level to get them into the deal. That's just a bad deal. Now, that LGBT, they say it's lesbian, gay, bi, trans. I got a scripture for it. The Bible has a different LGBT found in Romans chapter 3, verse 4. And it says, God forbid, yay, LGBT, here it is, let God be true and every man a liar. That's the Bible's LGBT, you know? And I always thought, I'm like, oh, are you LGBT? Oh, I'm LGBT. And I pull that out, I kind of shock them a little bit. Remember that thing. When you hear that thing, always look for an opportunity to bring in the scripture. Well, let me see what God says. LGBT, let God be true and every man a liar. And you watch them over there, you know. Got some scripture things. So that's the kind of that's the Bible's LGBT. This is where the world's going. It's an amazing thing. Oh, next generation should be generation, if Lord tarries, maybe if it doubles again, 30%. Yes. Yeah, correct. I mean, that's very true. They're identifying, and a lot of parents, they're giving into that, too. So, I mean, that's a sad thing. Yeah, amen. Amen. See, at the end, amen. You know, self-fulfilling prophecy. Yes, sir. Right. Amen. 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 Alpha and Omega. That's, you know, we're Greek, we're English, Z, right? America, right? Amen. Amen. Maybe some to all that stuff, you know? You know, don't quinky-dinkies with the Lord, you know? Okay. I'm going to look at some verses here in Titus this morning. And in Titus here, I'm actually going to look at five verses, and they're found in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. But before I do, we kind of got to build up a little foundation before I get to those verses. I'm hoping to get to them even this week, okay? And those verses are kind of the cliff notes of the New Testament. I'll show you what that means. I mean, when I was growing up, I never liked to read. Read, man. That's boring. Come on, you know? My generation, until I got saved, I didn't have books. I got a pretty good library now because the Lord changed things, you know? But oh, read. They want me to read a book. Oh, man, I hate reading. And so, you know, there's things called the Cliff Notes. You know what the Cliff Notes are? And I went to school, college. I go, wait a minute here. Why would I read this crazy book this long? It took me, I don't know, for me, you know, 2 months when I can read this in a couple hours. I go, hey, so I would read the Cliff Notes and do my report and save much time. That doesn't make sense to me, you know. And so these may be the Cliff Notes in those verses in the New Testament, but it's very important we get a little background, first of all, on this year. Now, Titus, I believe the New Testament kind of laid out like in a primal order there, and right near the book here in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus here, it's at the end of Paul's ministry here, okay? So we're right around 66 A.D. He get ready, his head's chopped off, and he's charging Timothy. Obviously, he's got a lot of revelation from the Lord and ministry experiences here. So we're near the end of his ministry here. And so it's real important kind of take heed. Like we're kind of, I believe, at the end of us getting called out. So maybe pay a little more heed what's happening here than maybe would in the beginning part of Acts or part of Acts, okay? So in Titus 2:1, let's start here with Titus 2:1. It says, But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Now that's very important because remember last time I was here a few weeks ago? Define sound doctrine. That's why I did it. Sound doctrine is what? The authority, you know, your King James authority, and that's divided by 2 Timothy 2:15. You know, and what you get out of that is sound doctrine. Now, I understand back in Paul's day, they didn't have a King James Bible, but you know what, though? Today, we can define it by the authority, the authorized book, divided by 2 Timothy, sound doctrine. Remember, I showed you every bad teaching is someone changing the Word of God or taking it that apply to us. Bad teaching. It's a simple thing to have. It's sound doctrine, okay? So it's very important to understand that, but that's sound doctrine. If you look at Titus 1:9, it says, holding fast the fruit, the faithful word as he had been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So there you are. It's by sound doctrine. And if you look at the next 7 verses, every single verse is, you know, all the problems that people are having, you know. And today, we have a lot of problem with doctrine, and it causes lots of troubles. And these are church people. This is written to a Titus was a pastor. So things just doesn't seem to change much. We're at the end of Paul's ministry. And look at the church age. What we're kind of doing is we're fighting and trying to win the lost with one hand, and we're fighting on the other hand with believers on stuff. Kind of interesting thing there. Kind of like, you know, in Nehemiah's day when they're building the wall, he's fighting his own people with one, you know, sword, and he got a trowel on the other trying to build the other. It's kind of like that here today, and that's just another little, you know, tidbit and hint that it just cannot be much longer now. Now, if you look at the very next verse, it says here in Titus 2, verse 2, it says that the aged men, and talk about the aged woman and young adult there, and then the servants. What's interesting is Brother Hoffman in his introduction to Titus, he has these stages, and don't look over so quickly. And here's what he has down, and I have the verses for him. He has babes, little children, children, young men, fathers, elders, aged. Get that? You see, look at how you grow physically. You're a little baby, right? And as you grow up, you mature, hopefully physically, mentally, right? Emotionally. Well, the Lord has the same thing spiritually. And I don't know when you all got saved. I got saved at 25. And so, you know, I didn't get saved when I was like 5, 6, 7 years old and so forth. But obviously, I did things when I was a young child in the Lord that I'm almost embarrassed today. And I'm sure the Lord kind of smiled at me and goes, yeah, you know, but you eventually grow. You know, I remember my dad telling me, maybe you heard this from your dad. He goes, just wait till you grow up and have kids. You'll see, right? And I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, a lot of times the kids know more than the dads, amen? But all of a sudden, you know what happens? Hey, my dad, he's a buddy-duddy. All of a sudden, my dad went to, he was pretty smart. My dad's a genius. It's a process, right, folks? Because we're not mature enough to understand some of these things, you know, when we're younger. That's why there's stages there, babies, little children, young men. And you know what, though? By understanding good doctrine, right, there he says, aged. So your prerequisite behind that is understanding good doctrine. Get that? And you're able to defend it a little bit, and now Paul calls you aged. Aged men, aged woman. You see that? That's very important that you understand that base over there, because somewhere along the line, I don't know where you're all at, but you want to become mature, obviously, in the word spiritually. Obviously, if you're an adult and you don't have got an incompetence problem, you're wearing a diaper, something's going on there, right? Amen? So it's obviously same thing spiritually where the Lord here has understanding that. This applies spiritually. Today, because someone has a doctor or professor associated after a name, sometimes doesn't mean nothing. Amen? I mean, sometimes they have a title, but you know what, though? I know if that doesn't mean anything. They may have that title, but they're yet immature. Like, for example, there's this doctor they're trying to bring into. It's Dr. Levin. It's an it. It's a transvestite. I don't know if you see that. I think Joe Biden has it going into the Secretary of Health. And she's a doctor, you know. And Rand Paul, who's a doctor himself, medical doctor himself, he's asking her, or it, or whatever it is, to say, hey, what do you say about having children between 14 and 18 years old, I'll be careful who's here, taking these hormone drugs and changing their sexual orientation and cutting off the private areas, what I'm saying. It's pretty, you know, and here it's answering it with this question, like, well, you know, if I'm elected here, you know, that's a very complex question, we'll come see you. You know, that's a political, it's a step, size up the answer. So we asked the same question, dramatic, and it was like a button. The exact same answer. Well, you know, if I'm elected as Secretary of Health, that's a complex question. You know, he's smart. Make it be known, this it, he said, lady or man, whatever it is not an answer question. That happens a lot today spiritually. People sidestep truth, and that's a very dangerous thing, you know. And if you're aged, you'll listen to that and be, that person just sidestepping those questions over there. You see that, you know? So a lot of things that Paul's addressing here to Titus are happening today, okay? Now, I'll give you an example. I got saved here back on February of 1986. So it's my spiritual birthday last week. I've been saved for 35 years. When I first got saved, Mike was part of that thing, helping me, my brother get saved. And someone gave me, he goes, oh, the King James Bible is the Word of God. I knew nothing from nothing. I was Catholic. I've been deceived by a church. And I think I got a book called Let's Weigh the Evidence. I think it's written by Burton, I think it is. I'm not even quite sure. And I read half it. I go, this makes sense. I remember saying, Lord, I think I had a King James Bible. I go, which one of these is true? And the Lord showed me. Now, having all that truth, I found out about defending its story. But I got that truth, you know, cemented in my heart. Now, obviously, over a period of time, what's happening is now you have to defend it. You see more evidence on it. and you build upon that foundation, becomes stronger. It's like, you know, the dispensational thing. That took a little bit longer. Because, you know why? It takes some study with that thing, right? It's a study to show thyself for proof unto God, a workman not to be ashamed, rightly divided. So I had the truth of the word of God, and I had the dispensational thing, and that just took a little while to get off. Because why? There's a lot going on there, and even amongst some of the mature saints, they're a little bit here and there, you know? So, but that, you study that, and you get that thing down. So it's real important that you see that issue there, you know? Now, let me give you an example of this here, how this portrays and how it kind of going to fill these verses I'm going to cover in a little bit. My entire life, I always try to go to Bible-believing churches. You want to go, obviously, we have the same foundation, obviously. I mean, go to a Lutheran Missouri Synod church or Charismatic. I mean, you know, you're probably not going to fit in. Amen? Just a little side note. When I was saved, my buddy Willie's dad owned the Aragon Ballroom, and I think I've been to 50 or 60 rock concerts. I think Willie's got 100-something he's been to, okay? And one thing, unsaved, going to that many rock concerts, going to them, I went there and worked. I worked selling hot dogs when I was a young kid, and then I'm ashamed the minute then we started selling beer. So I was unsaved now, okay? You know? So, Lord, that's under the blood. But one thing I knew the spirit of the rock music. There's a spirit there. You understand it, folks? There's no question, and I think Mike was involved with rock music, right, you know? So when I got saved, you know how long it took me to look at Christian contemporary music? About one second. That's wicked. That's the same spirit I got. I mean, to me, it was such a no-brainer. But someone that never really understood that, I can say they get sucked in physically. You see that, you know? I can actually, you know, I don't understand it. But I go, man, that's just wicked. How I could even relate to it personally, because it was so far from what I was involved in. So I always try to go to Bible-believing churches, and the pastors believe the King James Bible. Obviously, different little, sometimes there's a fine line there how where they are on it, but they always never really corrected it. This dispensational thing was a little different. That's a little different. But the last church I went to, and they're nice people. I don't want to knock my old church, but they did not believe this book at all. And they did not rightly divide it. I would not sign their thing for their pledge. And you know, though I was close by, and I knew that, and I try to partake all I can, but at times it became uncomfortable because they say some things. And what's interesting is if I just show you that verse here in Titus 1 verse 9, those next verses, it tells you defend those doctrines, right? So God says, hey, how about that? And this is my bishopric. God always says, and it's him, says, hey, talk to that person. I don't want to talk to that person about this issue. I hate controversy. But he goes, do it, Tim. Do it. I go, oh, man. Blame me. Ask my wife. Wife, go to the car. I'll wait in the car. I go, oh, man, I got to talk to these people about this stuff here. And I try to do it honestly, nicely, with compassion. I say, that's wicked. I had a big smile on my face, cheesy smile. I go, let me share with the Bible. But they just would not listen. But that's important on the spiritual growth. See? I mean, see, they're growing. Let me give you an example. We had a gentleman come in, a professor from a Bible college. And he's a professor teaching in a Bible Baptist college. And he came to Ephesians 4, 8, and 10. And I'm going to read it to you. It says, wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led capacity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first unto the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And the context there is Jesus Christ's atonement of literally going down into the heart of the earth. Now, obviously, he says, when he died, he says, Lord, into my hand I commend thy spirit. So his spirit went back to God. His body obviously went, you know, in the grave, you know, they rolled the song away. But the real him, his soul went down. And this professor goes, well, of course, we don't believe that. You know, that's called third person plural. He wants you to suck you in the we don't believe that. I believe that. I mean, we're talking about we. I mean, I know. And because I'm in a place that doesn't understand doctrine, no one caught that. Or they don't care today. Showing you where the promise maturity level is. I'm like, oh, man, that's not good at all. And we don't believe that. No way, you know, blah, 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 you know. And honestly, that's not Danville heresy. But what knows? This is all doctrine that help you understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is and affects your walk and your talk. You get all that? There's a lot of meat where the Lord's going in. So I came up real nice and I raised my hand in the service and all. I said real quietly, and they're signing his Bible, Mr. Professor, you know, and all that, you know. And so I go, hey, brother. And I go, let me quote about this here. And I just read off four or five scriptures showing how important that was. And Luke 16, and I could tell he never heard that. He goes, where'd you get that from? I go, the Bible. I mean, you know, I show them the things in Luke, how important it is. They don't believe Luke 16 is a story. They call it a parable, you know. That's real important. Matter of fact, if you look at Ezekiel 20:49, it says, in the context of this, people preaching about hell, it says, and then said I, ah, Lord, they say to me that he not speak parable. See, they call it a parable. See that, you know? Even the Lord foretold that verse in Luke 16 was a parable. You get that? That's kind of a question I always would ask people where they stand doctrinally. I'd ask, what do you think about the King James Bible? Who is the whore of Revelation 17, 18? What do you think about Luke 16? See, those are verses that you can see where people are spiritually. I mean, real quickly, to see where they're at. Anyways, so, you know, I try to be nice, and I could tell the pressure, just like, I never heard of that before. Just so happened, about 3 weeks later, the president of the same college came by. And he's speaking. Oh, he's correcting the book. And, you know, sometimes, you know what, if you listen to some of these things on radio, you can't even hear them, right? Amen? You're hearing something, that's a click. I mean, it's so bad, you just turn them up, right? Like, oh, man. And sometimes I just want to hear because I just can't hear because it's like somebody that understands music. I don't understand music, but if you understand tones and all that stuff, boy, they're off tone. To me, I can't hear music at all, understand it at all. So if someone may be off, I think they sound great because they don't understand, like, you know, if someone understands it, they tell they're off on a tone or a pitch or a harmony or melody. To me, I can't do that. But liken it, you should on the Word of God. Amen? You should be able to look around. Someone's giving you some scripture. Ah, they're off. Now, and be able to say, ah, you know what? That's Calvinism. Oh, that's New Evangelicalism. That's psychology. Christianity. I mean, all the things that are kind of brought into place to make you someone that's strong in the faith, right? And that just takes a time. It don't happen overnight. You learn that, all that stuff. I have sermons. We're cleaning up the garage. Found a big box of sermons. And I'd probably say a third of those sermons I preached years ago, I wouldn't preach today because they're heresy in there. I mean, not real bad. Like, I probably won't do that one again. I mean, that's because you're growing. But the Lord knew that. You always want to be growing. So anyways, this president of the same school, he's going on and on and on. And so I'm leaving. The Lord says, oh, talk to him. I go, oh, no, Lord, I hate this. So I think Gene went to the car, and I'm waiting for talk to him. And I go, hey, how you doing? And I'm smiling nice, you know, and how you doing, you know, trying to be nice. I go, let me ask you a question on something that you mentioned. I opened a scripture, and his answer was, well, in the Greek. You ever heard that? I remember, the authority isn't the authorized book, it's the Greek. And so I asked him a question, and he had something wrong. In the Greek, I remember the last time he said, I do remember these verses here, in Acts 2:27, he says, well, I showed him, I says, it says here in Acts 27, because thou hast not, will not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer the Holy One to see corruption. I go, that's speaking of David speaking there, and his soul was in hell. And I showed him Acts 2:23, obviously in the good part, you know, paradise side. And seeing this before spake the resurrection of Christ, speaking of the Lord, and his soul was not left in hell, neither shall his flesh did see corruption. Obviously his soul is went with the lower part of the earth, and his body was in the tomb. And I go, well, you mentioned, you changed us to Hades, or Sheol, which means, you know, their thing. I go, well, that's literally hell. And I said this year, Mr. President, I said, the King James English trumps the Greek. And when I said that, he exploded. I'm not kidding. He literally exploded anger. Now, I found out later on that my old pastor talked to him 20 years ago. So he'd been dealt with the subject, obviously, over a period of time, you know. But, you know, obviously, being a president of a college of pride and money, he ain't got. So I saw he got so angry at me. I mean, he just like, I mean, steam could have come out of his ears, and he just tore away. And he probably went lunch with the pastors and fellowship, I'm sure, whatever, you know what I mean, you know. But, I mean, the point thing is it's important here to understand these truths and doctrine. It makes you aged as the Lord wants. So it's very, very important you understand these things. Now, let's look at the last verse before we get into the actual message here. 2:10. It says, not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. That's the verse before I get to my text here. You see that? By knowing doctrine, you know the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's like when you're growing up physically and you know your parents as they minister to you, you know them as a little kid playing ball and odds and ends. You understand the things behind them laboring for you, put food on the table for you, and a roof over your head, all things that generally happen. You don't understand that. Like, I come home and there's a food on a table and a roof on my head. They understand the love, some of the things behind you, the sacrifices. When you get older, you go, hey, you know what? My dad or mom sacrificed for me. They took me here and sheltered me from this here. You don't realize that until you mature. Amen? So here we have clearly that as you grow up and be aged and understand what the Lord's done for you, you become a more mature person in the Lord. You understand that? Amen? So that's important as Paul speaks to Timothy about that doctrine and being aged and understanding the principles of the Lord. So that's real key. Now we're going to get into my text. Okay? So for this week and next week, we'll get the cliff notes of what I would call the New Testament. Here's the first one here, found in verse 11. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Number one. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Obviously, he's talking to believers, but not that all men could mean, I think does mean, not only believers, but all men. And how is that done? Number one, it's done by creation. It says in Romans 1:20, it says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, for that they are without excuse. Creation. That's why that's attacked so much today. Because understanding that creation cried out, you know, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. A lot of times, if I witness somebody, I always bring up creation. I want to see where they are, because that reveals the grace of God. The grace of God, I want to find that for you. I want, first of all, I think it's found a couple places, but it's found in 2 Corinthians 8:9. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that through his poverty might be rich. Grace, right? God's riches at Christ's expense. Amen? That's grace. Amen? I mean, you got to remember that. Burn that. That's a burn brain, folks. That is a burn brain without a doubt. Let me get another verse here. Romans 5:15. For not as the offense, so shall is the free gift. For if though the offense of one, that's Adam, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, had abounded unto many. First Adam, we messed up. Second Adam, Jesus Christ, grace of God comes in there. That is key. That is the grace of God. That's what we need to remember as a mature saint. And in this first point, creation, first of all. Hey, God's revealing his grace sometimes through creation. Very important we get that thing. I remember going moose hunting in Canada. And we'd come on the boats, and we'd try to find a moose coming in the little rivers at dark. And we'd shoot at them, as they come out. And I was on the boat, and I was completely astonished and awed at the stars. It's just unbelievable. I've never seen this day. I'm like, I can't. There's trillions of them. It was so bright. It's like in the fall. I could see the people when they showed up. Abraham, look at the stars. Thou shalt be like the seed. You can't see that in Chicago area. All the lights and everything. But I go, wow. It's that creation that reveals there's a God. Amen. It's just unbelievable. If you ever get away and see that, it's like unbelievable. I'm even astonished. I didn't like to see the sun come up because the beauty of the stars would disappear. It was really neat. Okay. Also, beside that creation, which is, I consider, general revelation, right? So that general revelation is creation. But God, through the grace of God, gives us a personal revelation called our conscience, right? Our conscience. So look at conscience here. If we go to our conscience, it says Romans 2:15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the mean which accursing, accusing, or else excusing one another. God gives us that conscience. That is personal revelation. When you were a kid, I hope, and for me, you knew it was wrong to go into the dime store and take a candy bar. Amen? Remember? I mean, can you let your conscience bear record of that? I remember the first time, only time I ever shoplifted in my life. I'm confess your faults to one another. Amen? Not sins. Amen? I was with a friend of mine, Bob Alvazar. You know him. And he worked at Zare, the store Zare. And we're looking, I'm unsaved now. We look at some rock group and a cassette. He goes, oh, take it. And I just put it in my pocket. I thought my heart was pounding. Even though I was unsaved as a kid, I never did it like that. I'm walking out of that thing. He probably says guilt all over my face, you know? And sure enough, a guy goes, hey, he was a security guard there. I know what you've got. And because you know that guy over there, if you put it back, you can get out of here. I'm glad I put it back. But I remember that. Why? I'm pricking against my conscience. Get that, folks? Your conscience knew that it was wrong. And that, what that is? The grace of God. Hey, man. General revelation? Personal revelation. Amen. We have to stop now. Okay, so we're going to get on to the other things here. I'm not even done point one next week. But I had to lay a foundation, folks, on this year so you understand and how now we're going to use the application of these things to see kind of, I would say we need to check up from the head up. Amen? To see where we are and how we grew. And we go, man, the Lord's been gracious to me. And with that, by him being gracious to you, you want to serve him more. And it does affect our life. Okay. Any questions, comments before I close in a word of prayer? All right. Father in heaven, thank you for this letter that Paul wrote to Titus. There's a lot of good meat in this book, and a lot of meat all over, but I just pray, Lord, we can use some of these truths and ideas, and we can see where we've come from and where we are, that we would draw closer to you. So thank you, Father in heaven, for what you have done, are doing, and will do, Father. And we ask this in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.